Mitzvah Hashem, tonight we'll discuss our third part on Hilchas Tefillin. Of course, there's much more to discuss, but I think that's going to be it for Hilchas Tefillin. Mitzvah Hashem, Billy Nether, next week. We will do, obviously, something on Chanukah. Not exactly sure what, but it will be Mitzvah Hashem, Billy Nether, Chanukah base. We'll discuss Inyanim of Chanukah. Okay, so we left off last week. We were trying to delve into a fundamental question about how many brachas does one recite when they put on Tefillin every morning. We mentioned it's Machloikis. Between big machlokes b'shainim, between Rashi, the Rif, the Rambam, versus Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh, and the way it basically brought came down was Ashkenazim make two brachas and Sfaradim make one bracha. That's the way it came down. And we mentioned last week that there's the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes that since the second bracha on the Shal Rosh is questionable, therefore we say Baruch Shem Kvei Machol Sodei Lom Vaed after we recited it. And we did mention, it's going to be very important for tonight's shir, we did mention that quite a few Mefarshim have a different understanding of why we say the Baruch Shem, and it's not because the second bracha is questionable. We did mention last week that the Kisser Shulchan Aruch writes that when one says the second bracha, he should try to say the bracha quietly. This way, no one should hear it out loud, and perhaps be presented with a dilemma, should they or shouldn't they answer amen to that bracha. I just want to spend a few minutes this evening going back to that topic, then we'll move on to something else. I found a tshuva from Reb Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger is one of the great dayonim, one of the great rabbonim of the late 1700s, where he has a tshuva, number one, in a sefer, Elif L'cho Shlomo, where he writes the following. The shayla was, Im rashay la'anus amen acha brichas tefillin shal rosh. Someone asked him, is it right? I'm sitting next to a guy in shul, and I hear him make the second bracha. Either he doesn't realize he's supposed to say it quietly, or he said it quietly, and I still heard him. Should I answer amen? Question that perhaps can arise every single morning, depending on what you're doubting. Many of us, we're just half asleep, so we don't think about it. But if you're awake, and you're conscious, and you're listening to the bracha, the halacha is when you hear a bracha, you're supposed to answer amen. So what about this bracha? So on one end, you say, no, this bracha is different. This bracha is questionable. And we will learn in a few minutes, and we've already learned in the past, that one is not supposed to answer amen to a bracha that you think is illegitimate. If someone makes a bracha to which you think is not a right bracha, you're not supposed to answer amen to it. So what's this second bracha? So again, it's double complicated for, let's say you're an Ashkenazi and you're listening to your Ashkenazi friend make the bracha, or we'll see in a second, let's say you're a Sephardi. So if you're a Sephardi, you're definitely not making this bracha. As far as you're concerned, it's a bracha shein tzricha. But I'm sitting next to the Ashkenazi guy. What do I do now? So Shlomo Kluger was asked this question, and he writes, let's say Ashkenazim, let's keep it simple. Two Ashkenazim that both make the bracha, and I heard my friend make the bracha. So he writes,
if we're assuming that the one who's asking the Shiloh also said it when he put on his tefillin?
No, the case is I make two brachas. Now I hear you making your second bracha. So for me this is a bracha, for you this is a bracha, but we know that this bracha is controversial. That's why you say Baruch Shem afterwards. So maybe it's such a suffix you shouldn't even answer. I'll make to the bracha. Which is why we mentioned last week the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch had this chiddush, you're bedafka supposed to make the bracha quietly to avoid such a shayla. But let's say you didn't avoid it, you heard it, what do you do now? So Reb Shlomo Kluger writes, his pasha to him, he writes, Shaila, Imra Ula Anis Amin Acha Brecha Tzilin Shal Reish Ki Rak Safik Bracha. It's a question. V'after Reiv HaPoiskim Shal Reish Ki Rak Safik, even though most Poiskim hold, you have to make the Bracha. Bikom HaKim Yesh Lachos Lemuta. Maybe you should be worried about the minority opinion. K'may De'in Onim Acher Nachri. Just like you don't make a Bracha after a guy makes a Bracha. V'kas V'abach Mikad D'chashil Lemuta Shem Mechana V'Zara. Why don't you make a Bracha if a guy makes a Bracha? Why don't you make an answer Amin if a guy makes a Bracha? Because there's a minority opinion, there's a minority of Goyim who are thinking of a Zara when they make a blessing. They're not thinking God. Thinking there of Avodah Zarah. It's only a minority, but you always have to be worried for the minority. So maybe here also, maybe you have to be worried for the minority opinion in the Rishonim that hold this bracha is an invalid bracha, it's an unnecessary bracha, and one is not supposed to answer amen to an unnecessary bracha.
When they refer to a bracha of a non-Jew, refer to regular
Shem Lamachus? Yeah. A guy makes a blessing and he, you know, uses the text. The question is, what's he thinking? Is he thinking to our God or is he thinking to his God? So Shlomo Kluger says, that's a very bad comparison. He writes, what are you talking about? He neither died the aim bazaar shum safik. So Shlomo Zalman, I have no doubt in my mind that you should answer amen if you hear someone else's brechas tefillin. Why? Because on the side that the guy, when the guy makes the bracha, there's a small possibility, a small chance he's thinking of a desire. And if he's thinking of a desire, you absolutely have no right to answer amen to such a bracha. But avo ba amen imba iser. But what's wrong with answering amen to this bracha? Rak ba amen yosayim evanu sheyadu davi bichilam. You only now let answer amen to a non-necessary bracha. This is not an unnecessary bracha because I think he's supposed to make the bracha because we pass like a made of time. He's supposed to make the bracha. Says if Shlomo Kluger, I have absolutely no problem with someone who wants to answer amen to the bracha on the mitzvah. So right, he doesn't say Yisra, right. He's not getting involved in that. We'll see the Yisra'el Shepais can talk about. Now, what's this all based on? If you look at number two, there's Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Kol ha-mevarech bracha she'in etzricha, ha-reize noisei shem shemayim l'shom. Anyone who makes a bracha that's not necessary, he violates Hashem's name for no reason. Let's say, for example, you go to a Suda, and at Yishabes Mil you wash, and then you make a bracha on the coleslaw, a bracha on the pickles, assuming all that stuff is exempted in the initial hamoitzi. So that's called dvar maboy machmas asuda. You don't have to make a bracha. So if you decide to be a frumah, I'm a frumah guy, I want to make a bracha on each one of the condiments. That's wrong. That's a bracha she'en etzwicha. Machloik is b'shoin him. If a bracha she'en etzwicha is considered an issur deraisa, or is it merely an issur derabbanan, it's being machloik is b'shoin him. But nonetheless, it's bad. V'asu la'anus achrav ami, and you're not allowed to answer ami to such a bracha. So let's say, for example, you hold that someone's making a bracha that's not necessary, so you know that answer on me. So I have a bit of a dilemma. I'm of the opinion, I have a messiah like this from my Rebbe, that I don't bench Goymel even if I fly to Eretz Yisrael, even over the water. So you go to Shul, everyone's benching Goymel every other day, right? They fly, they go on vacation. So am I supposed to answer on me? To me, that's a bracha shenetz vichy, you're making an invalid bracha. So the Ber Halacha writes over number three, the Ber Halacha writes like this. He says, "Mekom akam nira, dim echo noi ke eze deya." Let's say, for example, I disagree. I pass on halacha ma'aseh, you don't bench goyma. But I know Rav Moshe Feinstein held you bench goyma when you go up in the year, and Rav Avadya Yosef held you. You know, I know that there is a shita, and it's accepted la halacha. It's not what I do, but it's accepted. I don't have to answer amen. The suffix amen lekula. I'm not in any violation. So this is very interesting. So when I hear you make al mitzvah tefillin, I know that there's a large opinion of Hashem that this is the right bracha. So, according to this Ber Halacha, it's a no question that you'd be allowed to answer Amit to someone's mitzvah's tefillin. And I'd be allowed to answer Amit to someone who benches Goyim when they go on vacation to fly. Because I know that there is such an opinion like that, La Halacha. If we're talking about a case where a guy just doesn't know Halacha, he's making brachas with complete ignorance, then you're not supposed to answer Amit. So therefore, let's go back to our case. So when you make a brach on mitzvah's tefillin, that's quite a few opinions hold it. That's Rabbi Tam, and that's the Rosh, that's the Torah. So according to this Ber Halacha L'Chayra, it would completely be permissible to answer amen to the brach on the mitzvah's tefillin.
Now, first Shaila, if you'd already put on your tefillin, so you'd said the brach yourself, when you hear the brach, when he says Hashem's name, should you say brach v'rod?
So the halacha is that whenever someone makes a bracha and they're being might to you, you don't say baruch hu baruch shemai. But whenever he makes a bracha that he's not being might to you, but usually a bracha like this, I don't think you say baruch hu baruch shemai. I don't think so. It's a regular bracha samitzvah. I don't think so. I'm not sure. But definitely if he's being might to you, not. But if he's not being might to you, right. Because that's a hefsek, right? There on.
Based on the Ber Halacha, the klal would seem to be that even though, as the Rav said,
That's why you could say. Right. You'd be allowed you to. That's right. Even though I think it's a bracha shen etzricha. But since you're Sayyid Mechan Rav Moshe and other Gedolim, so it's not a bracha shen etzricha. But the Ber Halacha says I don't have to answer amen. Normally, if someone makes a bracha, you have
there's
an obligation.
There's no
Easter on. Right. But you're not in violation of answer. But again, if let's say, for example, a guy makes a bracha, that's completely wrong. It's no sheiches, right? Let's say in my house, we make a mezonos on licorice. Very big discussion. We've talked about this over the years. I think you should make a mezonos on licorice. I spoke to, actually here in the shul. On licorice. I make a mezonos on licorice. I think there's a lot of flour in licorice. So I grabbed when Reb Shai Shechter made a bris here, a few years already, maybe a year ago, maybe last year he made a bris. So his father was there, Bershel Shechter. I asked him. He told me, yeah, everyone makes a mezonos on licorice. I didn't have the guts to tell him. I called the OU. Who you work for, and they told me, what are you talking about? No one makes a mezonos on licorice. Of course you make a shaka. They give me a whole list. Rabbi Belsky happens to have a tshuva in the sefer where he explains why he thinks he make a shaka. But I think you should make a mezonos, right? So as far as I'm concerned, anyone who makes a shaka on mezonos is making, like, it's not a bracha, it's tzricha. You're yoytze, just to me it's a wrong bracha. Right? So that I know already, that's just my hang-up. But a guy makes a bracha, let's say the classic example, where you have rules of, let's say for example, the halacha is if you make a bracha on yayin, let's say you go to Kiddush Shabbos morning, and you make a bracha on the yayin, so the yayin part is all the other beverages. You don't have to make a bracha on the soda and the seltzer and the water. We had to share about this a while ago. So let's say, for example, you don't know this halacha. So this guy gets up and he just makes Kiddush, he drank half the cup of wine, then he gets up and makes his beautiful bracha on the seltzer. Don't answer amen. It's a bracha shen etzricha. You're patered. The mashkin were patered. Or again, the example I gave you earlier, when you have ikar and tuffel, things like that. Let's say the guy's eating an ikar of a tuffel. So the halacha is the ikar pater is a tuffel. But this guy wants to, no, I want to make a bracha on the tuffel. So I was just at an event a few weeks ago and they served ice cream sandwiches. So ice cream sandwich is a big question. How many brachas do you make on an ice cream sandwich? So Moshe holds, you make two brachas. I hold, you make one. I hold. I have a Messiah, you make one bracha. So the question is, so if I hear this guy making two brachas, should I not answer amen to his second bracha? And I think it's wrong. But Teretz Moshe holds, you should. So of course, so that's the Yesh Amilas. So it does come up very often, these types of shailas, where you think this guy is totally wrong. So if it's a machloikis, a poiskim, fine. But we're talking about a case where the guy just doesn't know halacha. So is that the case of mitzvah tefillin? So the answer is, of course, that mitzvah tefillin is not, you're not going to say that the bracha on mitzvah tefillin is completely ridiculous bracha. No, it's quite a few Rishayim are supposed to make it. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh, the Tor, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. So Avadi can answer Amit. So I think the Berel Halacha would tell you that you should not feel guilty, and perhaps you should, and maybe you're in a violation if you don't. And we were Medayik already last week that I think the Mishnah Berurah holds you should make the bracha out loud. And therefore, if you hear a guy and she'll make the bracha out loud, Avadi should answer Amit. There's no question.
So the Halacha is clear that if somebody making, you know, when there's no question, the guy next to you takes a glass of water, makes a shot call, you're more willing to say,
Yeah. That's Shulchan Aruch writes. Yeah, a person has an obligation to answer Amen when he could. Now, you're not allowed to answer Amen to an incorrect brach. This is the sugya we did already, maybe last year, right? I remember a couple years ago, when little kids make brachas. Right? We want to be machanach our little kids to make brachas. But the problem is their brachas might not be considered valid brachas because they don't know who they're making the bracha to. So we can't answer Amen to such a bracha. So it gets a little tricky how to get around it. But halacha l'maaseh, so that's what I think the Be'er Halacha would hold. If you look in the Be'er Moshe, the Debre Tzina Rava number 4, he basically says what I said over here. He writes that v'oyd oyre shemisha b'tos oma brachas al mitzvah tzil m'shama chaveroi yesh l'lanas al bracha. You should answer Amen. Deni shekas v'ra Moshe yesh l'ma baruch shem. Avad v'ra Mo wrote yishtei baruch shem. To which according to many people it means because it's a suffix bracha, but avada, it doesn't make the bracha not a bracha with regard to answering Amen, and you should answer Amen. Okay, so again, halacha l'maaseh, if you're in shul, again, I think we mentioned this last week, perhaps we didn't, that someone asked me, I don't know if someone asked me here or somewhere else, that why is it that like the brachas on tefillin were generally said quietly? So I think the reason is not because of this. I think because if everyone in shul is going to make the lahanich tefillin halad, you're going to have that one guy that might be between his tefillin shayat and his tefillin shal resh, which we'll see tonight. It's very questionable about what you're allowed to say and not allowed to say. So the minute just became to make these brachas shashtel quietly. But if you happen to be sitting next to a guy and the guy happens to make the bracha out loud and you happen to hear his amitzah tefillin, it sounds like over here, you should answer amen. What about if you're an Ashkenazi? What about if you're a Sfardi? So in Yakut Yosef, he writes, now this is different. Why? Because till now we're talking about Ashkenazi and Ashkenazi to I make the bracha myself. So if I make the bracha and you make the bracha, I should answer amen to your bracha when you're making it. But now I'm a Sfardi and I don't answer, I don't make this bracha. So as far as I'm concerned, this is an unnecessary bracha. Can I answer amen when you make it? So here you can really go both ways. Well, for you it's a real bracha. For me it's not a bracha. So who do we look at? Do we look at the mevarech or do we look at the oine? So, you know, how do you look at it? So Rabbi Avad Yosef, Yakut Yosef writes over here, im svardi shemei bracha zu me'ashkenazi nochen she'ahara amen b'libo. You should think amen. V'lo yehana amen b'pib, but don't exactly express the amen. Why? Shari das Rashi v'arif kam ashkenazim ave bracha v'tos. He says over here it's worse. Because not only is that svardim hold, it's not a bracha. There's a whole list of Ashkenazic rabbonim that hold it's not a bracha. So he writes over here, therefore shev v'al tasa adif. It's better just to be passive. And he writes in the bottom from his father, Rabbi Vad Yosef, shem amru kein afal didu shem v'archim shem lanas amin kavachor min didan lo v'archim. He says, Bishlomo, if we're talking about a case where I'm a Sfardi and you're an Ashkenazi. But over here, even in the Ashkenazic world, there were Ashkenazic Rabbanim who told you not to make it. So therefore, Zakt, the Sfardi Shem Rabbanim, that a Sfardi should not answer Amen to such a bracha. Now, this is already beyond our sugi, but it just was interesting. Same Shiloh comes up every single month, Rish Chodesh. There's a big machloikis Mishayim if you make a brach on Halal the Rish Chodesh. Why? Because Halal is only a minute, the Gemara says, and we have a rule, Amin Hagel Loim Mevarchin. So the question is, it's machloikis Meramo and Mechaber about whether or not you make a brach on Halal the Rish Chodesh. The Mechaber does not, and we Ashkenazim do. So what happens if you're a Sfardi diving in an Ashkenazim in Yonim? So again, it used to be Ashkenazim and Sfardi. Rabbi Shuai spoke about this when he was here, Pesach time. It used to be Ashkenazim and Sfardi never mixed, so none of these Shiloh Reverend Negea. What does an Ashkenazi do if he's in a Sfardi house for kidneys? They were never together for Pesach. It never happened. They all lived in separate sides of the world. But today, we all Ashkenazi marry Sfardim, and Sfardim go to Ashkenazi yeshivas, and all the minyanim are mixed together. So now this becomes a real shaila. You're a Sfardi guy, Davos, and an Ashkenazi minyan Rosh Chodesh. And everyone's making the bracha, Asher, Kedushab, Zazanu, Al, on Halal, and to you, they're all making a bracha, Shenet Zvicha. What are you supposed to do? So Yakut Yosef writes, Udi Gavasega, Bebechas Halbersh Chodesh, and Sfardi Shemea Brachas Lakrayas, Halom Ashkenazi, he's not allowed to answer Amen. Same problem. Because to him, it's a bracha and a tzvicha.
It's the same if you're knowing not to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and you hear somebody saying the brachos, is it the same thing?
Right, it would be a similar shaila, right? That's why many people have a minute to make the brachas quietly. Yeah. Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch to make the brachas quietly. The Taz says that's because people used to get into fights about it. But in Achanami, it's always the same question. Again, according to the Ber Halacha, that would probably be better because there's going to be Saimachan. But the Svarim seem to be very into their Messiah, so they hope they don't make a brach. So again, obviously not making the brach out loud stops all these problems, which is why the kids of Shulchan Aruch said to do so. But again, if you don't subscribe to that, then the question does come up. I think there's Yesh Amei Lismach. Again, according to the Ber Halacha, you don't have to, maybe, but you definitely could. You can answer Amen to the Brach. Okay.
So stop our guy that's in a
He'll tell you there's not even a day that says you're supposed to do it, right? The Torah says you're not going to find the Satmar guy in Yom HaSmodim. The Torah, you're not going to find the Satmar guy in Yom HaSmodim. That's the simple answer. But these questions do come up now that everyone mixes it together. Now you have Ashkenazim, Davin, Gitzran, and Ashkenazim. These shaylas become much, much more relevant. Okay.
So, that, they don't have the anymore.
Because? And they hold it should be with a bracha.
No.
They hold it shouldn't say it at all. Oh, wow.
I have guys that come from Ish Kodesh, because it's Kodesh, they don't say Hallel. Uh-huh. They come here to hear Hallel.
I mean, so for the one day a year, they don't. Because of the one day a year, they don't come the rest of the year. Okay. It's Xero up to the one day. Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting idea. So they don't have a seeking, or they don't have a seeking somewhere else?
No, they
don't have a seeking because of it. No, they stick it to God. Okay, very nice. It's very nice. They stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they have an ideological difference. Okay, fine. So people have their hashkafas. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the tefillin shiat and tefillin shoresh. We mentioned last week that we Ashkenazim make two brachas on a tefillin shiat and tefillin shoresh. Sfaradim only make one bracha. Now, Shulchan Aruch writes that this is number six. Imsach letzorich tefillin. We know you're not supposed to talk between the tefillin shiat and tefillin shoresh. It's not supposed to be even a delay of time, which we'll talk more about at some point. But for the worst is talking. We always know whenever we talk about hefsek, there's categories of hefsek, right? Ever been to anyone's Friday night Shabbos meal? Everyone washes. Everyone's doing their new game. They kind of forget the way it's supposed to work. The point is, when you're not supposed to talk, it's usually because you're not really supposed to be mesiach das. You're not supposed to take your mind off at the specific thing you're supposed to be doing. So when you wash your hands for bread, you're supposed to be guarding your hands and remembering that I don't want my hands to become tamei or dirty because I'm trying to guard them. Talking is just because when you talk, you forget what you're doing and your hands can get busy. So when all those people who decide just to do the new game, it's like I beat the system type of thing. Now, there is such a thing called a hefsik b'dibur, and there's a hefsik b'zman. Just wasting time, not doing anything, even though you're not verbalizing anything. And then there's the third type of hefsik, which is what's called hefsik b'remiza. You can snap, and you can clap, you can bing on the table, and you can wink. So that's also a problem in a hefsik. Let's say, for example, between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shoresh, right? You're putting on your tefillin shayad, and before you get to the shoresh, you snap to the shleach tzibah to start davening. That's a hefsik. It's not a hefsik that requires another bracha, as we'll see, but that's also not correct. Well, let's say, for example, between tefillin shayad and tefillin shoresh, the guy comes around collecting tzedakah. So you pull out a dollar, give him tzedakah. That's not correct. That's wrong. You're not supposed to be mafsik between tefillin shayad and tefillin shoresh unless it's something that's negated to the tefillin. Something happens to the tefillin. So I'm going to talk about whether or not you should kiss the shoresh. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, im soch letzarech tefillin. So if l'maisa you spoke, but it was for the sake of the tefillin, you don't have to make a second bracha, because Svaradim only make two brachas if they talk, based on the Gemara Menachas from last week. So therefore, if you talk letzarech tefillin, let's say you went over to the rabbi and asked the rabbi a shayla on the tefillin, so then you wouldn't have to. But, im shama kadosh ha-kedusha bein tefillin shayal tefillin shoresh, what happens if I hear kadosh, or I hear kedusha, between putting on my shayal and my shoresh, lo yafsik la'anis imahim. You should not stop to answer them. You should use shemei koin. So between the tefillin shayat and tefillin shoresh, you are not supposed to stop to answer any of the dvarim shebektushos. Just use shemei koin.
But not need a mashava, which is also
right. So that does need right. That would be a time break, right?
Okay.
That would be a time break without a physical speaking break. But what's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell you. And if I did, what happens? He told me that if I spoke letzarech atfilin, I don't have to make another bracha. What happens if I didn't know this halacha, which a lot of people don't know this halacha, I think, and you're hearing between tefillin shayat and someone's making a kaddish, so you answer amen, you answer yesh me'rabba. So that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. Okay, but I did. Do I have to now make two brachas on my shalresh? Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. So this is a big machloekis rishonim. If you look in the Torah, number 7 on the left side, the Torah writes, v'lo yafzik beinayim l'dover afilu l'anas amen yesh me'rabba. farach ukedusha. One should not interrupt between tefillin shayar and tefillin shorosh, even for a davar shebekedusha. Ve'im diber aveiri hibiyod. And if you did, it's a big aveira. Ve'tzarech lachzul varach. Did the Torah right, and you got to make another bracha. You have to make another bracha. That's wrong. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch just leaves us hanging. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef brings the machloekis rishonim about this. Who's the machloekis rishonim? Between the Rosh and the, I believe it is Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh writes, "Kein kasev Rosh, v'kasev ayid ba'alachat tefillah atika kasev. Sach ben tefillah letefillah im sach sichas chulin chazor le'machol chama." If a person talks idle chatter, unnecessary discussion between tefillah and shadat tefillah Rosh, that's a reason to go back from the war. That means you're no longer a kosher soldier. Im b'kedusha, let's say you spoke not chulin, but you answered kedusha or amen yesh me rabba. That's not a reason to not go to war. You still did something wrong. Why? You caused you now to make a bracha that you didn't need to make. I.e., that means what? Now you gotta make another bracha. So here the Rosh is saying that if you taka answered Omen Yesh Merabah or Ketusha or Kaddish between Tzvillin Shah and Tzvillin Shah, that was wrong. Not as bad as talking about the, you know, the football game, but you'd have to make another bracha. However, that's not a hefsig. Here's an interesting lomdus shesori. He says, you can't move on. You gotta answer this thing. So therefore, he doesn't think that's a hefsik. So if it's not a hefsik, you don't have to make two brachas. So we have machloikis rishonim between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh. If you did interrupt for a davar shebekedusha, which you shouldn't have, do you have to make another bracha on the tefillin shel Rosh? So how did the Shulchan Aruch paskin? He didn't. He left it hanging. He was very vague, the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along to Mr. Brewer number 9, says to Mr. Brewer, lo yafsik, you shouldn't be mafsik. Va'afil la'anis omen al brachas u'gufa. Let's say you're in middle putting on your tefillin shayar and tefillin shorosh, and you hear someone else make a bracha. Don't answer on it. Unless he's being moitzi. Let's say you did. You got to make the bracha again. That was not like the Rabbeinu Tam, but like the Rosh. And then he writes something interesting. Let's say you're putting on tefillin for whatever reason, and you're not making brachas. Still, then you could be more lenient with answering Dvarim Shebekedusha. But you should try to then move the shalyad out of place. This way they're all done in the same time without a time break. Why should you be shoysig v'shemeh v'ashtika kanil in yalas yidei choyva avloy shiyachshav kavsaka? This is something we spoke about a few years ago, the lomdus of shemeh kainah. Because shemeh kainah is what I mean. If it's like I spoke, so then I was mafsik. The answer is no. It's enough to be that I was yoytze, the answering of the kedusha, but I did not actually speak to be considered a mafsik. So Mr. Brewer paskins, halach lamaisa. If you b'dievet answered kadesh or kedusha or amen between Tilna Shah and Tilna Shalrosh, it was wrong, you shouldn't have done it, and you have to make two brachas now on the Shalrosh. So Paskins, the Mishnah Berurah. Shulchan Aruch is not clear about it, it's Machloikis Rishonim. There are those that want to be Medayik Faker from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch did not say, like he wrote, Imsach Letzarech Tilna Ein Echayz Mavarech, that he holds you do have to make the brach. It's not clear how to conclude in the Mechaber.
Then you make Laniach Tilna first, and
yeah,
Tilna.
Yeah.
And after you make Laniach Tilna, do you put the Shalrosh on, and then you make Al Mitzvah Tilna, and you make
That's a shayla. Kivega has a discussion about it like that. We didn't get to it last week in the Ber Halacha. We didn't get to it. But let's see right now. Look, that's right. So look at this Ber Halacha. So I think it happens like some people just don't chomp. Like they're good people. They hear Amen. They answer Amen. You know, they're good Jews. They don't realize like in between. So the Ber Halacha writes, interestingly enough, he quotes a Chai Adam. The Chai Adam writes, "Pipshitas the lididon tzarich levarach shtayim al shal rosh." Gotta make two. Ula hamachaber. And if you're a Sfardi, lo yivarach kiim al mitzvahs. You just make one. Now listen to this. Ubaartas achayim and the Malbum, we mentioned this already the first time, the Arts Zachayim was the Malbum. The Malbum writes, Echriya de Bezeh, Afilu di Don, Tenoigim Karbeinu Tam, Lo Yivorech Ki Imbrach Achas Vuhel Amitzvus. Says the Malbum, even though we really pass on like Karbeinu Tam, that you're supposed to make two brachas normally, but when you were Sach, when you were Mavsik, then you only make one brach. You don't make Lohaniach, you don't make Lohaniach again on the Shal Rosh, you just make one brach. It's not what the Mishnah Berurah said. Mishnah Berurah said you make two, l'haniach and amitzvahs. Says the Chayodim, no. Says the Malbim, the Artzas HaChaim, he says no. Then in such a case, even though we normally pass like a bit of time, he's supposed to make two, he thinks you should only make one brach. I don't believe that is the accepted custom.
When you saw.
Yes. Correct.
If you place Tishel Rosh in position, but you haven't yet said Roshem, can you then be Mafsik?
As long as the tefillin are in their place, yes. Then already the mitzvah is over. But we mentioned last week, the Mishnah Berurah says, people always do this wrong. They put the tefillin on their head, and they make the bracha, and the tefillin is not yet in the place. So they weren't yet mekayim the mitzvah, and they jumped to say Baruch Shem. They were mafsik before they finished the mitzvah. That's a hafsik.
Right.
So that's not right. But once the tefillin are in their makam, then you're good to go. The mitzvah is over.
And then you can say Baruch Shem to whatever, you can
mimafsik
Kedusha.
Yeah.
And then you say Baruch Shem?
So we mentioned last week, Rabbi Zalman said, if you already said Yehei Shemei Rabbah, that counts as your Baruch Shem.
Right, yes.
Now, there is a shadow we're going to see in a few minutes.
I know this is, but when you put the tefillin Shorosh, when are you supposed to make the bracha?
Right, when it's on your head, but not in the place where it's supposed to be.
When it's on your head, but not in the place. So it's still over Lassiyah.
That's correct, right. Mishnah Berurah said, if it's going to be in your hand, it's over the Oivet, it's too early.
Right.
We're going to see in a few minutes, I hope it's on the page or somewhere, that Reb Chaim Noah had a chumrah not to talk until he wrapped around his fingers. Because he held the three fingers around are also a chilek of the mitzvah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik also had an opinion about this. And therefore you shouldn't be masking until you finish the mitzvah. So the mitzvah's not over until you do the three fingers around your fingers also. We'll see that hopefully in a few minutes. Now, based on what we're saying now, that we're really trying to limit the amount of hefsik that takes place between the Tefillin Shiyah and Tefillin Shoresh. For example, look in Shulchan Aruch number 12. Says the Mechaber, also lahafsik bedibur bein Tefillin Shiyah and Tefillin Shoresh. You're not allowed to speak. Vim hifsik, and if you did, mevarach al Shoresh, al mitzvah Tefillin. That's the only time a Sfardi will make the brach al mitzvah Tefillin is if he spoke between the Shiyah and the Shoresh. Hagah ulidav for Ashkenazim, the noyeg levarach shtei brachas, afim lehifsik, tzorach lach levarach al Shoresh, lohaniach al mitzvah. So again, what would an Ashkenazi do if an Ashkenazi spoke between Shoyan and Shalroish? He'll make two brachas on the Shalroish, Lohaniach and Al Mitzvahs. Says the Mr. Burr, Asa Lahafsik, Afilu B'dibur, Shal Mitzvah. You're not even allowed to talk about Jewish things. Keep going. The Hoshav Shalom the Rabbi. Let's say between Tefillin Shoyan and Tefillin Shoyan, your Rebbe walks in and he greets you. So even though normally that's considered a halacha that you're allowed to be mafsik, not between Tefillin Shoyan and Shoresh. Keep going. Brach Shem Tzvicha. Vafilo Oyser Amenich and Tefillin Bechol Amoid Bli Brocha. Oyser Amenich and Tefillin the Rabbi. Tam Achshol Tefillin Rashi. Oyser Chol Tefillin Nastach Ziran. All these cases where you're not even making a bracha, you still lechatchila should not speak between Tefillin Shoyan and Tefillin Shoresh. Why? Because there's a din, it says in the pasuk, "V'hoyu l'chol la'ois ayadecho l'zikar meninecha shi'u havaya achas ashtim." It should be one procedure. It should be one swoop. It shouldn't be done broken up. But Dibur says, "Mishnah Berurah v'afilu b'loshan hakodesh." You can't even speak Hebrew. Ulechatchila also afilu lahafsik b'shtika. Even not talking, just downtime. Just taking your, you know, you see these people in the morning, they're like in slow-mo, they didn't get the coffee yet. They're taking the time, they're taking the shayah, they're slow, then they put in the shayah, everything's in slow motion, right? So that's also not right. They're supposed to be chick-chack, you're supposed to go quickly. He writes, "Im shahar b'shalot tzarech, v'afil la'hezich adayte." I didn't take off my mind, it's not like I'm spacing out. Halvai, even worse, a guy would check his phone between his tzon shayah and tzadah, that's terrible. I'm sure there are people who do that. They can't miss something. So between the Tzon Shiyah and Tzon Shiyah, you put on your Tzon Shiyah, you go straight, right? Because you're right over here. So you jack the pockets right here by the phone, you pull it out, you check the message, and then you put on your Shoresh. Right? Beautiful. So Dr. Mr. Brewer, that's wrong. Because the first of all, that's a Hesach Hadas, and that's a Hefsek Shalei L'Tzarech. But he writes, V'afilu Ramiz Bein of Likutz Be'etz Boisov. Even if you want to, you know, wink at someone, you want to signal to someone to go up, do something, or snap at your fingers, all of these things are lechatchila, not correct, and should not be done between Tzon Shiyah and Tzon Shiyah. We paskin that if you did, you don't have to make a second bracha. The Behetiv quotes the psak from the Halachas Katanas. The Halachas Katanas paskin you do. We don't paskin like that. We hold you only have to make two brachas if you actually spoke. But if you just clapped, you winked, you checked your phone, you wrote something down, you looked in a safer, all these other things, you would not have to make a second bracha. So now the question is, kissing your tefillin shorosh before putting them on. So someone asked Rav Moshe that l'chayra, if you're supposed to do everything so quick, so without wasting time, what's the justification for even kissing the tefillin shorosh? That's perhaps an unnecessary break in the action, which is not allowed. Now it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you're supposed to kiss your tefillin when you put them on and when you take them off. Now that halacha in Shulchan Aruch is not found in Hilchas Hanochas Tefillin. That's found in Hilchas Chalitzas HaTefillin. Even though the Shulchan Aruch writes when you put them on and when you take them off. So when you take them off, there's no shayla. But when you put them on, you could be matke and say the Shulchan Aruch is talking about when? Talking about Tzon Shayad. Tzon Shayad, kiss it all you want. Tzon Shayad, you can't. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this in number 11. Rav Moshe writes, "Ubein tefillin sheyal l'shal rosh asa lahanas afil." I'm sorry, this tshuva is before that. Here's where Rav Moshe discusses the two brachas. Okay, Ayin Shalom on your own. We don't have the time to see it. It's an interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe about the two brachas. But I want to go to the next tshuva from Rav Moshe now on the next page. So this is our last chance to do Hilchos Tefillin, at least for now. So I want to cover as much as we can. That's an interesting tshuva for Rav Moshe based on the brachas. Someone asked Rav Moshe, it's number 14. Ra'is l'chacham echad shehevi raya mikriches rutzuas tefillin sheyad. Someone wants to tie it to Rav Moshe. Well, you're allowed to wrap the other parts around your arm, even though we know the ikar mitzvah is just to have the box tight. The rest of it is really is extra, which is why we didn't have a chance to get to the whole discussion of why many people will wear a watch on the lower parts of the things, because they say that's not a chatzitza, because that's not where the, I have to have the strings. Maker, then I have to have it where the box is over here and whatever's going to hold it together. Which is why many people, if they're rushing in the morning, they'll tie the knot, and they'll do one or two strip, one or two around, and they'll stop and go straight to the shal rosh. Why? Because the rest of it's unnecessary. It's not a chelik of the mitzvah. Therefore, it's a precious time that's being wasted.
Why should you do that?
Maybe you should. We'll see. Some people do. We'll get to that in a second. So someone tied it to Rav Moshe the same way I'm allowed to do that. That's not a hefzik. So I'm allowed to kiss it also. So Rav Moshe writes, "V'hine me'achriches raya lehepach." So Rav Moshe, I'll go the other way. The Torah writes b'davka the other way. Your davka is supposed to put on the shal rosh before you wrap your arm. B'tam shachricha eina min ha-mitzvah. Which we'll get to in a few minutes, hopefully. Why is it that so many people wrap all the krichos around their arm? It's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It actually says in Shulchan Aruch the other way. Don't wrap around your arm. Only do that after you put on the shalrosh. But it's based on Arizal. Arizal says you're supposed to do it. So Zakhtiv Moshe Upirish b'machzah shekel d'la rosh ene mitzvah sanachat tefillin d'chein isa b'yisayis b'tayim of Arizal sov d'akrichi mitzvah tefillin v'imkei nishika shevade ene mitzvah sanachat tefillin l'kuli alma efshahu ha-hefzik. So Zakhtiv Moshe, if okay, you just backed yourself into the corner. The only reason why perhaps I'm allowed to wrap around my arm, that's because you can justify that that's a chelik of the mitzvah. No one said kissing the tefillin is a chelik of the mitzvah. So Zakhtiv Moshe, perhaps you're right. Perhaps kissing the shalrosh is a hefzik. But Zakhtiv Moshe, ach, mistavra noite she'ene hefzik, kivin she'ene b'ze inyan she'hiya kol. It's not that, how long does it take? It takes a second. Now you gotta see some of these people, they might spend like a significant amount of time kissing the shalrosh. I don't know what they're doing exactly, but that might be a problem. That's really unnecessary. But Rav Moshe seems to be saying that in theory he thinks it should be a problem, because there's no mitzvah, it's not a chelik of the mitzvah, and therefore if you do it, spend too much time, it perhaps can be a problem. The Munkat Shereba in his Sefer Nemuki Arachaim disagrees, and he says, Faket, what are you talking about? He says that since we hold, but he quotes over here, the lav davka hachachom el cholecha mitzvahi. The Shulchan Aruch says the hachomim used to kiss the tefillin when they put it on. So that's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Munkat Shereba already, Achrayim writes, this is lav davka hachom, it's anyone. So he writes, v'kivna have a mitzvah, shuvalei have a hefzik, b'intzvon shalat zvon rosh, kimoi zayin ha-kricha, shal tzvon shayat. He gufa goes the opposite of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe thought that the tying around your arm is a mitzvah, but not kissing it. Zog to Muki Arachan, zog to Munkat Shereba, no, that's also a mitzvah. So the same way you're allowed to do that, you're allowed to do this. So he disagrees with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe thought that it's not a mitzvah to kiss the tefillin. He thought it, Munkat Shereba thought it is a mitzvah, and just like you're allowed to do the seven wraps around your arm before the shalrosh, you're also allowed to kiss the shalrosh. So halacha l'maisa, the velt is noig to kiss the tefillin shalrosh, but it should be done quickly. It shouldn't be done too long to be a mafs. Okay, we mentioned last week that l'chayv the fizeh, it's also not right to pull down your sleeve on your tefillin shalyat. A lot of people spend 10 minutes trying to fit the sleeve on the tefillin shalyat before they get the shalrosh. That's not right. That's an unnecessary hefzik, and there's no mitzvah to cover your shalyat. Faket, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the tefillin shalyat, you can do that. You can either cover it, keep it open, do whatever you want with it. The shalrosh has to be open, but your tefillin shalyat, you can either cover it, not cover it, it's up to you. So then if you're going to spend 10 minutes nugging on your sleeve because your shirt's too tight, or you've been working out too much, or whatever, and you're trying to get it over the tefillin, it happens every time. Everyone sits there trying to get it over. That's a chayav unnecessary break. That's not right. So the Aderet wrote a lot of Sfarim. We don't have a lot of the Sfarim because his manuscripts were left by his son, to his son, and his son wasn't religious. So he didn't know what to do with the manuscripts. So he dropped it off in Panovich, because his father used to be a Rav in Panovich in Europe. But the problem was, the Aderet in Panovich was a bad Shidduch, because the Aderet was the father-in-law of Reb Kook. So in Panovich, the Aderet is treif, because the son-in-law is treif. So they never let anyone get those manuscripts. So finally, someone broke in, and the Gansa Maisa, how we slowly have drip drops of some of the stuff the Aderet wrote. But the Aderet was a very choshev. The Aderet was supposed to be the assistant rabbi to to Reb Shmuel Salant in Eretz Yisrael. He was supposed to leave Europe to come to be Reb Shmuel Salant's assistant. What ended up happening is Reb Shmuel Salant lived longer than him. So he was appointed to take over Reb Shmuel Salant. Reb Shmuel Salant outlived the Aderet. So the Aderet got the job, but he never became practical. But that was the Aderet. So the Aderet has he writes before us like this. Ra'u la hazi la harba anoshim. Shemamshichin b'shtei yadayim shalakseinis. Ubegit el yin al tzvon shayad. B'ter minichu asher roish v'hu hefse godl. Tainet the Aderet, it's not right. You see people that are tugging. And also, you see some people, what they'll do is they'll take their jacket sleeve out, then they'll put their jacket sleeve back in after. That's also not right. Don't do anything. Put the tefillin on, leave it, and go back to the tefillin shoresh. Afterwards, you could do all your juggling and do all the other things. You think that's not right? He says, maybe you'll tell me that there's a gemara that says, it says in the pasuk of Ahoy L'chol Ois, that it should be an ois for you and an ois for no one else. So the Shari Tshuva Taka brings down such a halacha. They're supposed to cover your tefillin shoyad. It's not Mikra Din. It's not brought down like that in Shulchan Aruch. It's a Shari Tshuva quotes it. So he says, what's the problem? So you'll do that later, or you'll cover it a little bit. But you don't have to go all the way down. You can just put the jacket. Don't worry so much about it. So the Aderet held, it's not right what people do.
So there's a removable covers.
That's a big discussion. I didn't want to get into it this week. The removable covers. Some people were against the removable covers. Some people were pro the removable covers. So that might be a covering. So if you have the cover on top of the Shaya, it's already covered.
Yeah.
So you're good to go. You don't even have to do anything.
That
was one of the purposes, yeah. Some people argue that it shouldn't be there all the time. Many people held you should take it off when you make the bracha and only put it back on afterwards. It should be open then, and then afterwards you put it back on. It shouldn't be closed. Most of us have it closed 24 hours. It's like locked in. We only take it out just to clean it off every once in a while. Many places can hold not like that. It's a big discussion. Due to the time, we're not going to get to it this time around when we do Hilchos Tefillin. Maybe a different time. So the Yakut Yosef, Rabbi Yosef's son, also records halachal ma'is like this. Him and the Aderet were on the same page, and I thought this is mistaver like this, that one should not spend extra time tugging on his sleeve to try to cover his tefillin. However, the Sefer Nesivos Chaim, which is written by a Svardisher, he disagrees. He writes, I don't understand. I don't understand what Rabbi Avad Yosef and what his son were saying. He says, what do you mean? I'm doing this for the tefillin. Remember we said already that when you're mafsik l'tzarech ha-tefillin, it's not called a hefsik? He says, I read, you're not supposed to give tztaka between tefillin shayah and tefillin reish. Alvagav to have a mitzvah, achlo have a mitzvah z'benyan anoch ha-tefillin. It's not a mitzvah to what you're supposed to be doing now. He says, no, but you're in fulfillment of the din, which is again, it's not a din in Shulchan Aruch. It's not recorded in the Mishnah Berurah, it's recorded in the Shari Tshuva. That it says, that's supposed to be private. Your tefillin is supposed to be private, it's supposed to be covered. So he thinks that's mutter. So he thinks it is mutter. Again, the Aderet thought not like that. The Aderet thought it's more correct. And I think that's, again, the Aderet said, if you want to just cover it a little bit. There's no mitzvah to slip it all the way down, then there's no mitzvah to put your jacket into the sleeve. That's all not necessary. People waste a lot of time between tefillin shayah and tefillin shoresh, to which I think that Derek is addressing that it's not the right thing to do. Then there's a chumrah from chumrah. There's a din from the Ketzos HaShulchan, Reb Chaim Noe. Right, we only think of Reb Chaim Noe when it comes to Shurim. Reb Chaim Noe wrote a lot of Sfarim, wrote a lot of other things. Reb Eliashiv considered Reb Chaim Noe the Pesach of Yerushalayim. Before the Chazrish came to town, the Reb Chaim Noe was already in Yerushalayim before that. So Reb Chaim Noe writes that after you put on your Tilim Tzor Rosh is the first time you're allowed to talk. Said Reb Chaim Noah, the three times around your fingers, that's also a chelik of the mitzvah, and you should not talk until you finish even that. Most of us think that's like, you know, that's extra credit. No. A person should really be mafsik until he finishes that. The Sefer Nitzan Gavriel quotes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that the Minhag Chabad is not like that. Minhag Chabad is that they hold that after you have the Tzvon Shoresh on, then you can go talk. The three times around the finger is not a chelik of the mitzvah. The Kaf HaChaim quotes over here, what's the three krichos that everyone has? If we say the pasuk of Arasta Chilil Olam, that comes from the Kaf HaChaim. He writes that Gimel krichos Eilu Kasa bePasuk Gimel Pamim Varasta Chli Kishoisim Eila Gimel krichos Hasaviva Etzba Rotzu Loim Apsukim Eli. You say these pasukim Varasta Chli Olam Varasta Chli B'Tzadik Mishpat Uchas Rachem Varasta Chli B'Emunu V'Yedat Hashem. That's where it comes from. It's not found in the Mishnah Berurah to wrap around and say these pasukim, but everyone says it because it's in the Siddur. It's found in the Kaf HaChaim.
And the pasukim that some say before that,
but
is that not then?
I guess they'll tell you it's Tzarech HaTzvon. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's a question. Yeah, it could be a question. So Reb Shechter tells a story over here in Nefesh HaRav, a great story. That Kishaniach HaShal Yad, HaYikarech HaKrichas Al Gava Etzba Koid Mishaniach HaShal Rosh. Reb Salvechik had a different chumrah. When he would put on a Shal Yad, he'd go seven times and do the fingers as well. Right? He would do both. Why? Because he thought that those three fingers are also a chelik of the hanocha shal yad. And you're not allowed to move on to the shal roish until you finish the shal yad. So just like we saw before from Rabbi Chaim Noyeh, that Rabbi Chaim Noyeh held you're not allowed to be mafsik, so here Rabbi Salavejic went the other way. Rabbi Salavejic thought that it's a chelik of the hanocha shal yad. So you can't put on your shal roish until you finish your shal yad. So you have to first do the seven and the three fingers around. So what happened? So therefore he writes, Ubi'inan yinit shekoz man shebeni nechi yishnayim. V'Rabbeinu Hiskas Shiseveris Harav Mishkas Yankiv, and he told that was the opinion of the Mishkas Yankiv of Yaakov Kaliner. So Upam Lonu Rabbeinu Hoy Bal Bais Echo Noichach B'Shoah Shenich Rabbeinu Tzvon. Some guy was watching Rabbi Sal. These are always the Nunniks, right? They watch how the Rebbe does this and how the Rebbe does that, and they go back and they report Rebbe did this and Rebbe did that, right? So one time someone was watching Rabbi Salavechik put it on Tzvon. So Rabbi Salavechik felt that this guy was watching him. He saw Rabbi Salavejic was doing something very weird. He was wrapping the three fingers around before he put on the shal reish, which to most of us is not what we do. So what happened? So v'shaylakach v'an Rabbeinu kein shechachti. So Rabbi Salavejic said, oh, I forgot. I already thought I put on my tefillin shal reish. Ki leirot leval v'loy b'hasvar machlokes rishayim. He knew this guy is not going to hold cup in the sugya. He told this guy, oh, you're right. I'm not going to. Instead of telling the guy this, machlokes rishayim, what's the chiluk of the mitzvah? He told the guy, you're right. I forgot. Just to bypass the whole problem. Im inyan akriyach shalat b'shes gavim rochus urak prat b'shir shal erich avtzus oishu chelik mitzvah. He said, one way to try to explain to this guy is whole machlokes rishayim. Is their finger? Is this part of the mitzvah? It's not part of the mitzvah. I just told the guy, you're right. I forgot. I made a mistake. So sometimes it's not worth engaging in a conversation where it's not going to bear too many fruit. Just move on and go vayt. So that's a machloikas hapoyis. So if you look at them in Shulchan Aruch writes number 22. Achar shekasha shayar al azroi. After you tie the shayar on your arm, yaniach shalreish. Koydem sheyichra charitzua savav azroya. Shulchan Aruch says clearly you're not supposed to wrap seven times around your arm. You're first supposed to put on the shalreish. You're not even allowed to take the tefillin shel reish out of the bag until the tefillin shel reish is completely on you. So it's a pella. How many, if you've ever been to shul, how many people don't follow the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says mefurish. You're supposed to go straight to the tefillin shel reish. So Mr. Brewer writes over here, he says, well, what's the pshat? Hatam, what's the reason? Kim shebirchas laniach chazeres gamal shel reish, kanal besif, cotton. So you want to be mamayit behefsik, but he quotes the Arizal, third line of Mishnah Berurah. Ubeseifa kavanas Arizal, cause if you show you know glichroch hashiva kricha savlis reitchila. Avoloi hagimel kricha shal etzba. The Arizal held the seven. That's a chelik of the mitzvah. The three is not. Not like Rabbi Salavechik and the Mishkas Yankiv that held the three is also a chelik. I think almost everyone. You ever watch anyone in shul? Everyone does the krichas first, and then everyone say mechana arizal. I don't know how many people know that, but what we do is against Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you tie it enough, and then many people do, they just do one because it's not going to stay in place. So they'll do a couple and go straight to the shal reish. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, you're supposed to never do the seven. We all do the seven because we're saying on the Arizal. Then he quotes the Mishkas Yankiv. Daite gamki kimin agenu lichrach kodem azrael chiluk the belav hachil miskayim v'nekir kshira. The way he quotes it is that the Mishkas Yankiv held if you don't do something, it's going to fall off. And then he writes, "Im shoma kadosh kedusha achas sheberach al shayad v'michrach lo yelapnai lanir shalreish lanir shalreish kodem akriches im yochal hadik mitzvah shalayim shadayim shalayim." This is what a lot of people should know. Let's say you're putting on your shalreish and you see that if you don't get moving, you're going to be caught up between the shayad and the shalreish for davar shebekdusha. But if I just do two and then go straight to the shalreish, I'll have enough time. Says Mr. Brewer, you should do that. Because that's really probably you should always be doing. But we normally we follow that reason, but here, so that's something you should keep in mind. If you're watching the time and you see that if I'm going to do it all seven, I'm not going to get to the Kaddish Kedush and the Baruch Hu, so then just do two quickly, make sure it stays in place, and then go to the Shel Reish. Another halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is also not what we do, number 24, says in Shulchan Aruch, "Emeniach tefillin kama pamim." This is not something again. If you put on tefillin many times a day, tzarech levarach alei b'chol pam. You have to put on every single time. Nishbetu mim kaima. Right, some people have like this, their calling in life is finding all the people in shul whose tefillin is off and letting them know that their tefillin is off. This is like some people's passion in life. The rest of halacha they don't know anything about. But they measure your tefillin to make sure your tefillin is right. It's almost like it's like an OCD some people have, which our religion often breeds. This is like the area, like these guys, they're like obsessed with your tefillin. I love these guys. You just have to like, you're right, thank you so much. Now, there is truth to it. If your tefillin is not bim kaima, you're not yoytzer. Mr. Burr said it's kilo, it's not there. But I think sometimes people go a little overboard. But nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if your tefillin are removed from their place, nishbetu mim kaimam, umisham shebehem nachzilim kaimam, tzarech levarech. So let's say your tefillin are tak off, and there are some guys that their tefillin are just, they're really off. Like, the guy's tefillin's over here, so they, you tell him, and he pushes it back, great, fine, terrific, gotta make another bracha. Gotta make another bracha. Tefillin are off, you're putting them back on, you gotta make another bracha. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. However, says in Mr. Brewer, not so fast, 25, says in Mr. Brewer, hod, kazam ashlo, hod, loyne hige, in the levarech, nishdam tim kaimam, no one does that. Says Mr. Brewer, yeah, Mishum de Bishas Tfilah, Mistoma Ene Mesiach Daite. He thinks because when I put them on, even though they're in the wrong place, I was never really Mesiach Das. I think I'm wearing Tfilin. I just don't realize that my Tfilin was, you know, moved over. So therefore, since I was never Mesiach Das for them, I do not have to make another bracha, even though they're very off. But let's, if you were Mesiach Das, if you put on your Tfilin and you totally forgot about them, let's say you think you took your Tfilin off. Then you realize they're still on your head. So that might be a problem. For most of us, we think we're wearing tefillin, we just don't realize they're not perfectly lined, so therefore we don't have to make another brach. Okay, let's jump now. We're not even going to get to what I really wanted to get to. Okay. Shulchan Aruch writes number 26. Noagu o'ilam, the velt has a minik shloi lachlitz tefillin ad achik kedusha v'otzi. One should not take off their tefillin until the end of the davening, until kedusha v'otzi. V'yesh misha kaisi, to those who write, al tzara kabbalah, that based on Kabbalah, Shloi Lachloitz, Atcha'oma Behem, Shalish Kedushas, V'Abba Kaddishim. You should not take off your tefillin until you hear three Kedushas and four Kaddishim, Tehainu L'Acha Kaddish Yosem, i.e. the end of davening. Good luck with that one, okay? Especially those minyanim where everyone's counting every minute. In Maishu, we have a Shachris that we have to be done by 7 o'clock because alternate side, we're in front of a school. And alternate side starts at 7 o'clock and they're out with the tickets. So we got to be done. 7 o'clock, are you going to get a ticket? So not everyone has an easy time with this halacha, at least those who drive to shul. Says the Mr. Brewer, v'hochi noigin ha-medaktikim. That's what the medaktikim do. So I just want to get to this, Mr. Brewer, because we're running short on time. Mr. Brewer, I say this. Shalosh kedushas tos saifu is a pitting mistake. U'be'emet tzarech lemme shalosh kadishim v'arba kedushais. You got to have three kadishim and four kedushas. What are they? So what do you have to have your tefillin on for? Zok to Mr. Brewer, you have to have for Baruch Hos Hashem. That's one. She'idavish ha-kedush. U'kedusha. Safa Brura, Shnia. Ukdushas Amida, Ukdushas of Olatsin. Ushlosh Kaddish, more than three Kaddishes. That's Chatzi Kaddish before Baruchu, Chatzi Kaddish after Shemane Esrei, and the Kaddish Sholim after Uvalatsin. Umikom Mokim. Mashman Bipima God, Mashachrin, the Mikoyim, Shinogim, Lemmy Kaddish Yasim, Bechoyim Achalainu, Toyushle Lachlet, Aracha Kaddish Yasim. You should keep it on until after the last Kaddish, after the last Kaddish Yasim. This is, I think, an important halacha. Many people, they'll fold up their talis and tefillin during Kaddish. Says the Mishnah, lo yofa hein oisim. It's not correct. The ma'od yesh l'chav v'ani yesh omen yesh me'rab. You have to have a lot of kavana for omen yesh me'rab. And therefore, it is not correct at all that people are folding up the talisim. I see even worse, people saying the Kaddish while they're folding up the talis and tefillin. That's horrific. That's not right. Multitasking, that's absolutely not correct. What we did not get to, let's at least, we'll start it. Mr. Brewer writes over here, Mr. Brewer writes over number 28, that let's say there's a bris in shul. So Mr. Brewer writes, if there's a bris in shul, you should keep your tefillin on until after the bris. Okay? Now, there's two problems with this. First of all, no one keeps this. That's problem number one. And problem number two, which Rabbi Yishai Feinstein addresses, and we addressed this many, many years ago, that we know we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov because Shabbos is an ois, and tefillin is an ois, you don't want to overload your ois yes. So one second. If tefillin is an ois, then bris is an ois, I'm overloading on my ois yes. So Rabbi Yishai has a tshuva number 29 where he discusses that shayla. But the Debrit Zinerov is very troubled. Why is that no one keeps this halacha? Why is it that by the time the bris rolls around, everyone's tefillin is off?
So,
so the simple answer is, my limitzchus answer is because halacha is you're not supposed to be mesiach das when you're wearing your tefillin. Yeah, you're worried about guf naki. People can't control themselves. So they take their tefillin off because they're from. The other answer is because they don't know anything. That's the other answer. The third answer that Debrit Zinerov says is because everyone is in such a rush today. Everything is to save 3 seconds. If I take my tefillin off earlier, I save 3 seconds. But the truth is, there are chassidus shapayskim that held that you bedavka should take your tefillin off for the mila. The chassidus shapayskim. That's not what most of us are literatures. The shach writes in Yaradeh, like the Mr. Brewer quotes over here from the Magen Avraham, you should keep your tefillin on. So if you're talking going to be mesiach das, if you know you're going to keep your tefillin on, you're going to be shmuzing with the guy next to you, you're going to be joking about when's this bris ever going to start, I got to catch the train. So you talk, you should take your tefillin off. But if you know that you don't have a gufnaki issue, you don't have a problem with passing gas or things like that, you should look at chassidus, you try to keep. But the Paiskim, if you're going to be one of the Bali Bris, they're going to call you up for a bracha. They're going to, you're the Sandik, you're the Kvater. You definitely should keep your tefillin on. But everyone should keep the tefillin on. Try to keep your tefillin on for the Bris.